I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger, host of Dare to Dream. We've been nominated for two People's Choice Awards, a Webby Award, and most recently were listed in Welp magazine as one of the top 20 best podcasts in 2021 to pay attention to. Hi, I'm Debbie. I teach business owners, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers the time-effective action steps to write a highly engaging book, turn each author's book into an international bestseller, and I show you how to book podcast guest interview spots to sell, to be you, and to be interviewed with ease. If you want to get your tips and your sheet filled with lots of information for writing a book and being interviewed successfully, go to DebbieDashinger.com/gift. Get your free gift today at DebbieDashinger.com/gift. Do you want to learn about the Starseed Manifestation Key? My guest is back for a third time, and it's Scarlett Raven. She's the founder of White Fox Medicine and Psilocybin Love Medicine. As a starseed alchemist with an eye for the unseen, Scarlett spends her time with her animals, nature, and the fully active spirit world that seems to expand her horizons. Scarlett is the international best-selling author of Follow the Medicine, as well as her latest book called Naked Starseed Ascension Handbook. To learn more about her, go to scarlettraven.com. It's Scarlett, R-A-V-I-N.com. Okay, well, I have the amazing, gorgeous, wise, and arresting, I will say, Scarlett Raven here with me again. For the third time, the crowd goes wild. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Last time, 6 months ago, you were on the show. What has transpired in your life? What are you working on? Because that's a long time, right? In a human's life, like a lot can happen.
Yeah, a long time, especially in this time period that we're in. I started a mystery school. That's been going really well. And that the community around the mystery school is built around me channeling these stargates. So I would say having encounters with these stargates is what's super new for me. And what that means is that there's a tablet of information. And as I read the information, it projects out into a ring of light. And I channel what the ring of light represents. And as our awareness walks through it, we receive these upgrades and healings and all kinds of things to get us into a higher resonant state, which also means that if there's a density that's to be released in order to hold more light, that'll occur too. So it's not just that they feel really good and you're levitating. There's solid transformation that goes on inside of these stargates. And as I first started doing them, it felt like it was outside of myself. And now that I've been doing them for months, they're awesome. They're so awesome. And I'm making quantum leaps in my own evolution because of them, for sure.
Yeah. Like what kind of quantum leaps are you finding are occurring because of that?
My ability to master my emotional state. So I would say my external environment has been very unsteady and very changing. I haven't really landed yet. I got into a year lease in a house. It's ending about 2.5 months into that lease. And now I'm moving to another state. And that hasn't been, my next step hasn't been figured out. Throughout this process, I feel held by source in a way that it's a joy to go through the curiosity of the changes which I think if this would have happened to me just 6 months ago, I would have been stressed and I would have been worried about where am I going to live in 45 days and what's happening to me and why did this happen to me? And instead of going down that road, now I get to rest in this place of witnessing the miraculousness of the universe and how that's completely swirling around whatever I want.
Okay, that's a big shift. I get that. I love that for you. You talked about your mystery school, and I'd like to know what kind of mystery are we talking about?
It's about unlocking the mysteries hidden inside of us. So we are ascended masters. We're illuminated beings. We're in human form. We are slowly removing the agendas and beliefs and limited energies from our systems, and we're upgrading into this full ascended mastery. So the school holds videos of me sharing with students, how do you upgrade? What is multidimensional living? What do you do with your physical body? And all of it is really an ascension container. So the students can ask questions, I can channel answers, and it's an interactive light community where we're all focused on the Great Awakening, and that's our goal.
And is this something that people do with you weekly, monthly, or is this a year-long program?
It's on Patreon. So basically you join the school and then you have access to all the videos, all the Stargates, you have access to all the previous teachings, and you can just jump in and receive what's coming in now. Anytime I post something, people get an email and it lets them know what the teaching is. So it actually has a very relaxed feeling. It's not like a, oh, you have to join by now and you have to complete by now. It's an open flow of information that's going to continue to come. And whenever people want to pop in, they can. And it's super affordable. Like if you want to join and have access to Stargate videos, it can be $5 a month. If you want a reading with me and you want other facets, then it could be $35 a month. So it just depends on, you know, what people want.
Ah, cool. Okay. So with that in mind, your latest book is Naked Starseed Ascension Handbook, Blood yes. Type Galaxy Dust. Cool title. What is the new book about, and is it connected to the mystery school?
Yep. So the new book is 11 Stargates that I've written out and channeled for people. So instead of just having the video format, they can go into an analog format and take it under a tree and read it. It's a thick book. It's a short book, but it's thick and deep. So if you start reading one chapter and you start having a shift, it may take you 1 to 2 weeks to get through one Stargate. And then there's going to be blank page area behind each Stargate. So people can start anchoring their in their own visions and their own transmissions that transpired after they went through the Stargate. The whole purpose of the book is that Scarlet isn't special. And my prayer is that people awaken these gifts within themselves and start doing this for themselves. So by the time you get to the 11th Stargate, it's about you creating your own Stargates for yourself, or you creating whatever other kind of facilitation for growth for yourself, where you become a self-sustaining sovereign being able to be in that space.
I know that Naked Starseed starts out with an opening prayer. I don't know if you've got a copy of your own book right there. And if, or maybe you have it memorized, would you read it for us? Would you share that prayer, that poem prayer with us?
That would be beautiful. I don't have the book yet. It's still in publishing. They're 2 weeks behind schedule.
I have it here. Shall I read it and you can say your thoughts?
Would you please?
Yes, I will. And here is the opening prayer. The light of truth shall remind you of your light, remind you of your ascended master self. I am the container from which the remembrance flows through you, are the one remembering you, are the one calling forth your own light. May this book be a Stargate for you to remember through.
That's powerful. Yeah, that's the essence. That's the prayer. So by the time you walk through that 11th Stargate, is that you have upgraded to a level of mastery on some level. That doesn't mean you're done. You're never done. but on some level to where you get to have these sovereign psychic gifts that guide you deeper into your own beauty.
All right. Well, I would like to go through a couple of stargates, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And if so, and then I have some, you know, sundry other things I know will pop questions along the way. So talking about the various stargates that you list out in the book, and it sounds like you use also in the mystery school, can you talk about gate one, which is called witness through source eyes? What is stargate one? Why is it so important?
So Stargate One has so many layers to it. And when we embody, not just like think about what is witnessing through source eyes mean, but we embody our whole existence while looking through source eyes, it means that we've ascended past duality. We've ascended past the essence of good and bad or pressure and release. And we're able to have that physical experience as a joyful curiosity and then watch from a more ascended state what's going on. And that it's that viewpoint that syncs us up into the web of life that holds everything. So when you get to that place in your conscious awareness, you don't see a separation between you and a plant, and you don't see a separation between you and another person. You feel cosmically connected to all things, and you, it's not just your conscious awareness that entered this net, you've entered this web, I should say. It's a blanket of energy that is all, and then there's these individual expressions that pop up and say, oh, that's a cactus, oh, that's Debbie, oh, that's a crystal, but it's one energy body. The eyes of source are, it's a stargate to give you the physical experience of what does that feel like in my body when I'm embodying source eyes. And so there's words, there's light codes behind the words when people read the chapter that's actually working in the whole unseen realm and going into energy structures and adding light so that the physical can have the experience of embodying it, even if it's just for a moment. And then they get through the stargate. And what happens is your DNA just upgraded. More light became illuminated in your actual DNA body. And that's permanent. That doesn't change. Even if that state may leave your awareness experience, that means you still have access to it all the time. You always had access to it all the time. But you just built a bridge because you anchored an experience in. And the more people accumulate these anchored experiences of higher resonance living, that's basically like just walking up the ascension ladder.
The last time we spoke, you had mentioned that you had an invention that was created and was going to be created from alien technology. And you said that you had received a download and you were going to build it. And whatever happened with that?
Yeah. So had I been able to stay in this place that I just moved into for a full year, I have the kiln and I have the clay and I was going to start making it. Now I have to be out in 45 days. So I'm going to start repacking. But however, my next spot is going to be the home that I buy. So once I unpack and settle into that new environment, that's what's coming. That's going to be my next project.
Okay, great. Still stuff to look forward to. I like it. And, Stargate two, that is anchored to the body, grounded embodiment. Mm-hmm. So now we have source eyes and now we're anchoring to the body. What is that about? How do we do it too?
So the body is actually, to me, this is my experience, this is the main stargate to ascended mastery, is the human body. And through our spiritual evolution, I think a lot of us, we began by seeking outside of ourselves for answers. And as we did that, we got these answers. And now this chapter on the earth is about sovereignty, which means self-sustainability. The answers that I was looking outward towards other teachers or books for, I am now cultivating the muscle of asking source answers, asking myself answers, and giving myself the space to tap into all that is. And that I have that ability now because I'm fully in my body. So had I It's a super layered question. I didn't have this ability before because I had so much trauma going on. As I sought out answers and got my healings, I got to a place where my body felt safe. Once my body felt safe, I started doing meditation practices and breathing practices. And what's that that's doing? It's drawing the higher self deeper into the system. So yoga is, it's not hatha and stretching and breathing that. Yoga is yoking the soul with the physical. And it's about that unity between the two. And so this Stargate is all about honoring the temple of the physical. And I think American culture especially has used the physical, used it as external beauty, used it to make money, whatever you name it, without honoring it as a sacred divine place that the soul resides inside of. So this is more of creating a reverence with self, honoring oneself, having enough bandwidth and room to be in one's body during any situation that's going on around them. And if we can maintain and cultivate that bandwidth to be okay with any emotion that arises without leaving our body or distracting or doing drugs or having sex, but we get to this place of cultivated self where it doesn't matter what happens in my existence, I'm going to stay in my body. I'm going to face it and I'm going to see what the medicine is and I'm going to let that medicine fill me. So this Stargate is all about that type of self-sustainability and relinking that remembrance in people's minds that this is a sacred divine temple. So sacred. Like when people go to, oh, I want to go to Tibet and I want to see all those Buddhist temples and you see them and they're buying flowers and they're like putting the flowers down and they're so touched by the beauty. And then they go and they get wasted and screw a stranger. And it's like, do you understand that that temple that you just prayed upon is the same thing your soul's living in right there? It's just in a different shape and covered in skin. But it's literally the essence behind human form is carrying this same sacredness that we project upon with these churches and these temples. And it's that reverence that unlocks so much energy that we then get to use for manifestation or visioning or creativity or light shaping. So I know that was a big topic, but the body is a big topic. And I think a lot of us have really circled back because I know that I'm so cosmic and airborne and psychic that that world was easy for me to get lost in and I would ignore my body. And so a big part of this for me is anchoring it back in.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, this weekend past, I was in a ceremony, a medicine ceremony, and we did ayahuasca at night twice. And then we did San Pedro the next days. All around in the beginning and you're all sitting there in a circle before anyone drinks and you talk and then you set intentions and, you know, Mama doesn't go small. So I said, I want to get to the core of the core of the core of my wounds.
Wow.
And Grandmother Aya definitely respected my wish. I will tell you, it was one of the most difficult experiences I think I've ever had. It was literally living in everything triggering. So you're talking about trauma and trigger. I was living in it the whole time. Well, I'd have these moments of peaking and then, and then the next piece would come up and insecurities and jealousies and anger and all this, you know, very core stuff over something that had happened when I was young that I've worked on enormously, but it was like, really? Then here's the fireball that's been living in the middle. Ta-da. Man. And I am still recovering, literally still recovering because I cried so much. And I am finding in the recovery that there is an aspect of physicality that as I integrate feels it's raw, it's difficult. And, you know, all that trauma to allow myself to breathe through it. So I'm wondering what you know And for myself or anybody listening who could say, yeah, I've gone through a really hard time lately, or I've had my trauma, or this has happened, or I know there's wounds that keep coming up or patterns. What can we do in order to really embody and to really anchor into our bodies in what sounds like you're describing very safe, very nurturing, and very aware? All of those are intriguing.
Yeah, for sure. I just went through that. And I think it's on us to choose thoughts that are treasure hunting in every single situation. It's on us to be hyper curious about where the gifts are. It's on us to really know and embody that knowing that no matter what is transpiring, if you're gazing upon that as traumatic or bad, your filter's fucked up. Because there's nothing that's traumatic or bad for your soul. You literally came in here to this earth plane to have all of these pre-planned soul experiences, and they become warm water that wash over you no matter what they look like if you maintain that treasure hunting mentality. And it's funny because my parents and I just had this conversation, and my dad said, you know what, your brother, he's like a hot knife through butter. Anything he wanted to do, it happened. There was no drama. He's like, you changed who you were maybe 10 million times. You never completed one lease you ever signed up for. He's like, every time there was a big thing, these other 10 issues would come about. He's like, you would never conform or compromise past, you know, what you wanted. And I was like, yeah, I have integrity and I know what I want. And I'm not here to comply. I'm here to create. And at the moment in time when I got to Earth, there was a lot of people so dense that what I was creating felt like friction to people, but there was nothing wrong with what I was bringing to the table. So basically, I leave California October. I think I'm buying a house. I can't find anywhere to buy in Colorado. I live with my parents for 2 months. It's intense. I live in an Airbnb for 6 months. Meanwhile, I'm carting around 2 horses, 3 chickens, and 3 cats. And then from the Airbnb, I'm still shopping. Nothing's coming up. So I think I'm going to sign a year lease and I'm going to get stable and I'm going to unpack for the first time in 7 months. I sign a year lease. It's a princess castle. I mean, you can see it behind me. 30-foot ceilings, a marble, everything. And I was like, yes, that's my house. I got it. Everything happened perfectly, really. I get in here. The homeowner decides that he wants to spray the entire property with weed killer. Obviously, I stand up to that and say, no, that wasn't in the lease. And it's a hard no. And so we fought for about a month. This is right after I moved in. And I wasn't bending. And it wasn't. And I said, look, I will hand weed noxious weeds. I'm 100% willing to compromise so that your landscape vision's maintained. It can't just be my way. And then when he said every dandelion on the property has to be removed as well, I said, those are sacred fucking substances. That's where my hard no is, man. That's where my hard no is. I said, I have a whole tincture line based on dandelions because they're a youth tonic. There's no way I'm going to murder these beautiful creatures. So no. And as soon as I said that, he terminated the lease. So now I have 45 days to get out. I don't know where I'm going. I'm sure I'm going to land somewhere perfectly. And my dad was just like, dude, like that's a mini picture of Scarlett's life, but that's how it always is. And then if you look at that next to my brother, but the way I feel internally about what I'm going through, Debbie, it's so divinely guided. I mean, it's so like, as soon as I lock my eyes on what I want, it'll show up and I'll manifest it. But when I told you in the beginning, I'm making quantum leaps. I'm making quantum leaps. If my vibration leaves my resonance of this house in a month and a half when I signed your lease, that's okay. You know, it's okay to have circumstances change without viewing that as bad. That is another door opening. There's a higher calling for me that's ready sooner than I thought it would be. That's a good thing. You know, this is all good stuff. So that's what's on people's responsibility. Is train your mind to know without a fraction of a doubt, every single thing that's happening to you is a gift that's going to cultivate your soul. Like you went and you drank ayahuasca and you felt pain and suffering for probably 12 hours, right? And it's just, that's good for Debbie. That's bringing these things to the surface. So we can't judge things based on layers of external beliefs that were just put there to keep us in this lower living existence. None of them make sense. Oh, I think you're muted.
And nobody shall ever mute me. Let's be clear about that. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of allowance in there. There's a lot of owning, and that there's a lot of incredible trust and connection to a power greater than you and a power that is you being great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To embody. Yeah. And then, so yeah. Scarlett, you contend that you can show us how to reclaim our powers. How can we reclaim our powers? What is the secret sauce?
I would say the number one secret sauce is get it out of your head that you're going to have some big boom and you're going to be good and then the work's going to be done. And that is a horrible mindset. So get rid of that. And then create a mindset where you really value every little moment where you expand and make it a game. Make it a game where you play with yourself and you create a magnetism between your brain and your thoughts and every single beautiful time that you expand your light. And basically you dance between that with your head, creating the thoughts that attract those experiences, and then your body feeling the experiences, and it becomes the circle, a circle inside of yourself. So a lot of the people that I used to coach, they'd show up, you know, and I would share certain things and they'd be like, well, I didn't have that huge aha yet. And I'm like, okay, like, are you basing transformation on a huge aha, or can you train yourself to value the tiny little beauties all around you? Because when you train yourself to value those tiny little beauties, all of the shit that you came here to get rid of are gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to focus on the anger and the trauma from childhood and all that stuff. You don't have to focus on that stuff anymore. You have to train yourself to realize that it's the beauty of the present moment that you're in that's going to hold all the juice of all the joy and the peace and the trust that you want to feel. So like shamanic soul retrieval is about gathering bits of your being that are projected and you're not embodying. Mm. And the more that you gather of yourself and embody that in each moment, the more you naturally, our natural state, this is the whole thing with like healing and seeking. Our natural state when we're doing nothing completely present is joy, bliss, and transcendence. That's the natural human state. It's gotten super fucked up, you know, but if we just remember like, hey, if you just chill on your porch and you watch nature, you will be doing everything you came here to do. Period.
Then how do we tap into and live in the abundance of our spiritual gifts?
Slow down, get rid of smartphones and devices, and submerge yourself into nature for a while and allow the recalibration to happen naturally. And then once you recalibrate and you have your own little mini vision quest, come back into society and start making your own choices for yourself, sovereign choices that aren't based on societal law or pressure. And if you get sucked back into the pressure of the law, go back out. Go back out to your stable. Go back out into the woods. I don't think there's anything that we need to like overly process anymore. It's everything's gotten so simple. It's like if you're very distracted and you can't find happiness and you're always on your phone and you're worried about all these things, know that there are certain environments that are doing you a disservice, you know, and the smartphone is one of them. The EMF waves are really screwing people up. Living in certain locations is also one of them. Living in certain circumstances is one of them. How you spend your time is one of them. And you can see how these aren't heady things. Like these aren't things we have to like overanalyze. It's like, just put your place in a health, put your person in a healthy environment. One that's nurturing to your soul, and then allow your soul and your body to unfold like it was came here to unfold. The things that we're doing is removing beliefs removing circumstances. So if you think that that's been our drive, is to remove these external patterns, then be in the place you want to be in now.
Yeah. I was hearing as you said that, when you said put your body, your being in a healthy environment, I was thinking, yeah, put your being in a healthy love, healthy friendships, mm-hmm. healthy mm-hmm. food, healthy work situation, healthy colleagues, healthy self-reflection, healthy workshops. Like if that became the parameter, the new filter through which we made decisions, I think mm-hmm. yes and no would become abundantly clear to people about yeah. what to move into, what to agree to, what works for them and what does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our society is leaving hierarchical structure and people are reclaiming their power, and we're moving into communal structure where everyone has the same power. So it's also, you know, be gentle with yourself right now. We're not just all going through our own personal transformation, but the collective and all the structures that we knew are all crumbling. And that takes a great deal of energy to dissolve. So like for me, I'm resting a great deal. There's maybe a few days a week where I feel like I have energy and maybe I'll do 4 or 5 things that day. But on the normal, I might do 1 or 2 projects a day. Really slow, really simple. I spend the rest of my time outside sitting, you know, maybe smoking medicine and going for a hike. And my life has become very slow and very simple because I'm aware of the amount of crumbling that's going on right now. And if I don't engage in slow, soft environmental experiences for myself, I will be a total crazy person that's ignoring what's best for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're sensitive and you're empathic and you're an HSP, you need a lot of rest right now. You got to unplug from your electronic devices. You have to submerge in nature. There's no more, oh, but I have this work excuse. I'm just so tired of thinking like people relying on this phone. I'm just like, you know how brainwashed you are to think, do you need this thing? Do you realize how insane it is to think you need an external computerized device? It's literally a weapon of mass distraction. I mean that in one of the most violent terms that I could project it onto people. The effect it's having onto people's fields and minds is extremely detrimental at this point in the awakening.
Yeah. And for people wondering, what is an HSP? That's a highly sensitive person. So if that is you, and I would imagine the majority of the audience here is, then you might want to consider other options other than the busy, busy. I think about that every time I sing the song Mad World. It's a words of Tears for Fears did it originally, but the words are beautiful. It's a mad world, you know, people running around and busy, busy, busy. And I watch it and I just, you know, it's a mad world. So yeah, very apropos. I love the idea of the nature and important to rest up. I hear you saying like really to follow your own rhythm. So that's another way of saying what is healthy for my being right now. And if it's slowing up, going to bed more, going outside more, taking medicine more, God knows I am, then, you know, so be it. Whatever shifts you through the night.
Yeah.
And so Stargate 3, let's shift into that. Stargate 3 is called Elemental Fey Realm Stargate, which sounds really whimsical and lovely. What is the Elemental Fey Realm Stargate?
My favorite Stargate. That's what it is. I definitely am reincarnated Fae. So I came in connected to the plants and the animals on a really sacred way. It was a natural thing for me. Now what's happening in my level of consciousness is we've become a pod of one consciousness, and I move through my environment and my living quarters fully connected to my horses and my cats and all my plants. And if I want to speak to the plants and get insight about something, each plant has a different collective lens. So this Stargate is about reminding people that that is a huge source of being held and seen in this world. And a lot of people that are really wanting to feel that deep connection. And I know a lot of people long for it. Like, I really want to be seen. I really want to be held in who I am in my true essence. And what I found, because my true essence is so out there from what's currently available on the planet, is that I get to experience that level of being held and seen through the fae realm. So when I'm outside and I'm interacting with plants, like when I moved here, when I moved to any new house, I work with the fae and the elements to create a light pyramid over my home. And I do offerings in each corner of the pyramid with crystals and herbs and oils. And I call in the fae. And then I ask for permission with the trees and the plants around me. And what I'm doing is I'm strengthening the structure of that relationship with that unseen world. Because all of these elements have a huge role in our evolution. And we've forgotten this and we've dropped it as a tool. So like if you're like playing Zelda and you want to get a bunch of tools stored so you have them for your trip, you're basically walking by a treasure chest of tools every time you interact with an animal or a plant without this state of awareness awakened inside of you.
How do you do it yourself? I know some techniques where I know that I can move my energy over and into a plant, not to overtake it, of course, but actually to allow the plant to be the plant, but for me to feel it, if you will. Yeah, so I know how to shift my energy that way and literally experience whatever I could experience, a building, a plant, nature, an animal. Or are you referring to a way to engage, whether it's in your mind telepathically or with words? How do you engage with and, you know, utilize that relationship with the plants and nature?
It's auto now. Before it was auto, the way that I saw these realms is there's different dimensional realms and they're differentiated by vibrational resonance. So as you and I are talking in this one vibrational resonance, there's also layers around us. Some are fae realm, some are elemental realm, and they have their own very specific resonance signature. So a lot of people, when they first start, they do meditations and they'll have a cacao ceremony. And then as a group, they'll do a meditation to connect to the spirit of cacao. And maybe they'll ask a question. Anytime you ask a question, you initiate the expansion of consciousness. So if you're doing that in a group setting, the collective energy amplifies the messages. So it's easier to hear starting in a group setting. What I do now, well, I guess one step before what I did now was I would consciously shift my resonance into the resonance of the fae realm. And when I did that, I would feel like when you meditate and you feel light, I would feel like a lightness kind of wash through my being. And then it would be, I ask a question. So I could ask a question to like the cactus in front of me. What do you think of this move to Santa Fe? Do you think this is a good vibe for me? And then I would give space. Normally I would do it with my eyes closed. I would give space and I would receive. And some plants speak. Some plants will speak audio. Some plants will share a felt impression. Some plants will shift an emotional part of my body. They don't all have the same way they're going to communicate. And fairies communicate a lot through actual 3D form stuff. So if you want to have like interactions with fairies, that to me, that's more like, okay, I want to have confirmation on this question. If I see the clock say 11:11 right after that, to me, that's fae energy. Mm. You know, that's like, yeah, look at here. And I've done stuff with the elements. Like we can interact and speak to the elements. We have a right to communicate. We are an extension of Mother Gaia. And Mother Gaia has 100% full earth rights to speak to all the elements, the water, the wind, everything. And when we had the fires in Northern California, I remember sitting on my deck and saying to the wind, you have to stop right fucking now. Like, this is enough. Enough is enough. Let them put the fire out. Like, you've burned enough territory. And I'm done. And I was upset. I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this wind. I'm done with hearing it's going to be windy all night. And literally around 7 or 8 that night, this was like a few hours after my meditation, the wind stopped and they got to get more containment on the fire. So that shouldn't be like, oh my God, that's a big deal. It's a very normal gift that we all have. And whether it was me or whether it was nature, does it really matter? My intention was to interact and stop the wind so they could contain the fires more. And that's what transpired. So I'm consciously interacting with my world around me to create a prayer of a higher state of living for everybody. I think when you're in alignment with heart and the collective, if you ask from that place, it's served. If you ask from a place of greed or selfishness, I don't think you're going to be heard.
Yeah. So working with and commanding the elements, air, water, fire, wind. Yeah. Powerful. And from that space, shifting into where are we at? Stargate 4, I guess. Abundance, magnetism, moon, mm-hmm. gifts, implant. How did you come up with these names? Like, they're amazing.
I mean, I don't feel like I come up with anything. I kind of drop into a space and the moon came in. The moon came in and started talking to me about her magnetism. So those are her words, the moon's words.
And what is abundance, magnetism, and moon gifts implant? What can take place in that stargate?
So that's the shift from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. And that's how the sun and the moon are seeing it. When we were in the Piscean age, it was ran by a lot of masculine energy. So our solar plexus, which is even called solar plexus, was pictured as a sun. And we would use our force and we would put our energy out there, you know, and we would make things happen. Very, very masculine, beautiful. And we shifted into the Aquarian age now, which is really the opposite, magnetism. So I had this experience, I think it was after the December 21st portal, I went to take a bath and I was asking some question about my life. And I get into the bathtub and it was a full moon and the moon came in and literally said, "Would you like my powers?" And I was like, "Yeah. Like, you're a huge magnet. Of course I want your powers." And because I was trying to manifest something. And she was like, "Okay, great." And she came in and she removed the code of solar plexus and she implanted her magnetic code of moon. So now my relationship to my stomach is a magnet moon. And when I'm manifesting, I'm literally in a state of relaxed allowance. And things are being pulled towards me instead of Piscean. I was very goal oriented and probably overly masculine to make my goals happen. So I had that shift. And then when it was time to channel the stargates, that's kind of what this is about, is a stargate that gives other people this experience of taking the light codes of the solar plexus, transmuting them into a powerful upgrade of now magnetizing things towards you where you're in a relaxed state. I don't know if you've ever had a relaxed orgasm where like you kind of consciously tell your entire body to relax and you breathe into the pleasure that you're experiencing. And when you have an orgasm from that state, instead of like, and like grinding, you know, and holding your body tense, it will flood your entire system. So you'll orgasm in your legs and your calves and your feet and your heart and your head. And it'll be this huge explosion for the Palladian creatures. But that aspect of relaxation while also being super potent and powerful is what that stargate's about.
Mm. So speaking of orgasms, what is the greatest orgasmic joy secret? Will you reveal it, please?
Oh my gosh. I just had it. I just had the most, my girlfriend Feather is like Mary Magdalene incarnate. And she does these goddess workshops and they're on Zoom. So she did one called Flourish and it was about the Eros and the erotica and the feminine. And, the last class we had, which was the fourth class, she did this thing called vulva mapping. So we were all on Zoom and we turned our cameras off so we had our privacy. And I closed my eyes. She guided us on how to map our vulva. And we didn't go in or anything, but something about her tone and the way she guided us and the fact that there was a collective of women doing it at the same time, it wasn't a turned on, like, I want to have sex. I'm really horny right now. It was the power of my vulva was showing itself to me by my focused attention of slowly mapping her. And it was like, for the first time, I was taking time to be with, this is like a 25 minute vulva mapping. And if you think of the size of our vulvas, like, it's a very slow, intimate experience. So I felt, I mean, better than a full body orgasm. I felt all my powers were online and I was this embodied, like, cosmic ocean creature that was just gliding through this world for like 4 days. It was insane. It reactivated all of my desires. I thought I wasn't interested in partnership at the moment. That was a block. Like, all of these things that I thought were just how where I was at and how I was feeling, the lies and the blocks dissolved. And I was like, no, yeah, I want a man. Yeah, I want all these things, you know, and I came alive again.
That sounds so powerful. And so what is the point once you've mapped yourself? What do you do with the map? What is the future aspect of that vulva map?
So it's what a great question. It's actually the process that is the point. And that's kind of like circling back to our earlier talk of like, what can we do to feel good right now? It's like, realize that it's the process that's the point. And when you are fully consciously present with a process that deep and that powerful and that intimate, that's the point. You know, it unlocks these things that I think as women, we've looked at our vulvas primarily for pleasuring men, you know, and having, I think, an experience of pleasuring ourselves, pleasuring men. How many of us have connected our vulva to awakening our deepest inner desires, or enlivening our connection to our own inner spirit, or boosting our confidence to a place to where we no longer feel self-esteem issues? Like, that 25 minute experience had that ripple impact throughout my actual who I thought I was after.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, there are amazing things out there that are available. I love that we can even talk about this and, you know, even go somewhere to find out, oh, where can I go to experience this? And it sounds like it was online. I want to read something from you. It's a quote from you, Scarlett, which says that you were given ancient technology visions, which means that you have been shown how to make technologies that heal and bring forward the remembrance of our relationship between the earth and the stars. How were you taught, Scarlett? How did you receive these ancient technologies? How were you taught this?
A group of beings came to me in bed. Initially I thought maybe it was a dream that I had, but it was an experience we had, and they came in. They showed me what the finished product looks like in a way. And they said, okay, look at this. This is a star chamber. And I was like, okay, well, what's a star chamber? And then an individual aspect of the chamber would be up close, and they'd show me, and they say, well, this is this aspect. You need this clay. You need these types of other metals. You need to adhere it and fasten it like this. And then those are just components. By themselves, they don't do anything. But what the power was when you put them together, there's 33 of them, when you put them together and you align them on top of light lines in that specific place on the earth, what you do is you kind of create, so you know, like the Pyramid of Giza and Adam's calendar and all of these different sacred sites that are actually stargates and portals, where they built them in such a way that it harnesses the vibrations from the earth and the vibrations from the astrology above. And it gives off these negative ions that can heal anything, that you can stargate travel to other galaxies. So we can build that. We're no different than the people that built those ones. We can build those anywhere we want. And the activation of it becoming a stargate is when it hits these different light lines in that specific environment. So everyone that I build, it would be, each pod would be placed differently due to wherever that place is on the earth.
And then what is it? Does it essentially become a portal through which you could possibly appear, disappear to another multi-dimension, to another planet, mm-hmm. another universe? How does that work?
So there's layers to it. What we can access right now, like what it would be good for right now, would be to activate and embody Christ consciousness, to step into our full sovereign nature. When people step into that, there are miracle healings. There are, anytime you raise your consciousness or awareness, you rise above density. And if there's a certain disease or illness that's resting in a density below what you just resonated above, it's gone. That's also how it was created. So we have to remember these ailments and diseases got there because there was a low vibrational density that allowed them to be attracted to us. And as soon as we reverse that protocol, they leave. So this is like a chamber to reverse those certain protocols, but that's just one band. When we get to another layer, these star chambers will have another effect, which will be cosmic travel. It will be wormholing. We're not there yet. Like they've shown that I know, I have a sense when they show me things, I'm like, oh, I'm only seeing this and this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they don't want me to get fried. And they want me to be able to be purposeful with the information I'm getting. And so like slow and steady, you know, we'll raise up like this. But if you ask me that question in a year after it's built and a lot of us have raised our consciousness, I bet there's a whole nother thing that this star chamber does.
Very cool. I had my first ever UFO sighting. Yeah, I've had very interesting things happen. A couple of friends went out to Joshua Tree because there is a particular area there where there tends to be a lot of activity. We laid out blankets and chairs. We hung around. We did some Dr. Stephen Greer, you know, CE5 type work. We sang, we invoked, we prayed, we hung, ate, drank, you know, good stuff, mm-hmm. not alcohol. And, yeah. And, you know, we had a few moments where we thought and nothing really happened. So the night, you know, it's about a 4-hour drive from where we live. So the four of us got in the truck at like 1 a.m. knowing, God, this is going to be a long ride home. And we're on the road and we're on the freeway. We're about an hour out of where we've been. We're on the 10 freeway in California. And literally, I looked up because I stayed awake to make sure the driver was going to be okay and staying awake. I looked up in the sky and right above our truck, I can only describe it the best to say it looked like a space shuttle, only it was not horizontal. The space shuttle was vertical, huge, and it was hovering in the sky, not moving, no noise, no propulsion. There were a few lights on it, and I went little ballistic. pull over. Cause I wanted to like immediately start getting pictures and video. And I knew the farther we drove, the farther away we would be. So sadly, it did take us a hot minute before we could safely pull over. And we did. And then this object angled itself about 45 degrees and then flew again, soundlessly, noiselessly glided to another position. It eventually made its way over the 60 freeway by the 10 freeway. And it did some fascinating angles that were impossible per our gravity. We did get some pictures. We did get some video. Like I said, we were sadly too far away at that point that it would have been as incredibly dramatic as being there, but I had it checked out with several resources and, you know, people channel extraterrestrials and they were like, yeah. And the thing that they felt made it very valid was no one else on the freeway saw it. Trucks were going by, cars were going by, nothing. I was like, what? People.
Yeah.
So amazing. I feel like they knew we were in Joshua Tree and they honored us for reaching out to them. And, you know, then they gave us this beautiful show and it was very moving, I have to say.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds moving. That's really beautiful, Debbie. Really, really beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm getting there, Scarlett.
You are there. I think a lot of us are going to realize that we're actually the ETs, like the ones of us that, like you and me, and we're into this really existential stuff. And like you, like you're spending your time to connect. And whatever we're doing outside of ourselves, we're actually really drawn to wanting to do it inside of ourselves, right? It's just, we do it outward at first because we're humans and that's how we experience. But I had this realization. I went to a healing center down in Denver to see if I could teach classes out of there. And I was connecting with her and I was talking about my stuff. Like I'm talking with you, and she was looking at me like she was going to take notes, and she like dropped her pencil and was like, okay, like we'll get back to you. And I just could tell she didn't actually understand anything I said. And I could feel myself at, like, as soon as I saw her reaction, I could see where she was vibrating and I could feel where I was. And I was like, I feel like a fucking alien right now. Yeah. Like, I feel like an alien. Like, I'm just talking my native tongue and this person's looking at me like I'm crazy. And I was driving home and I realized you and me and the other star seeds and the other light beings and the other people committed to cleansing their density were aliens that chose to be in human form at this time, because we would have the codes inside of us to return to our, an alien has a word that's hard to relate to from human form. I mean, light being, that's easier probably to relate to than alien, but that's what the aliens are. They're light beings. They're light beings from other galaxies, you know? So I think we are the aliens. And I think next year, like, you're going to be in your own spacecraft, Debbie.
That's beautiful. You know, I took a very hearty step in that direction. Rob and I named our band, excuse me, Lions of Lyra, L-Y-R-A, for anyone who knows the planet of the lions, right? The lion people, the felines. Yeah, so it's beautiful. And everybody loves the name. They like, even if they don't get it, that it's an homage to this planet and these people, that Lions of Lyra, they're all like, that's kind of cool. So if anybody wants to hear that music from Lions of Lyra, go to that on YouTube. Very easy, Lions of L-Y-R-A. And so we're getting towards the end. What else do you want to share here at the end about all of this with the manifestation and the trust of self and the mystery school and all you're creating? And I guess I just want to also say to you, like, I see you, you know, it's not easy to stick out. It's not easy to say, I'm going to be a visible mofo, you know, I'm going to really let my freak flag fly. I'm going to be me because everybody else is taken, and see who resonates, what's going on. And at the same time, you step it up every time I talk to you with these incredible new revelations and creations. And so I find you to be this, you know, yummy, open being. And with that girl crush fan club, what would you like to say here at the end? And I really do mean it though, from my heart. Like, I think you're the bomb.
I feel that. Yeah, I totally receive all of that. Thank you so much. I would like to say that everybody is braver than they think they are. And we are in somewhat of a war, but you could take that word out and say, we are in somewhat of a massive soul catalyst moment. And if you choose to harness the opportunities right now, which is look inward and transmute the density, you will be rewarded with things that you can't even think about right now. They're so incredible. So my prayer with every single thing I do is that more people realize and commit to knowing how special and brave they truly are, and they stand and embody that light.
And scarletraven.com, that is the place for folks to go for your amazing products, your books. And does it have a link to the Patreon for the Mystery School?
Yeah, it does. And they can shop for the book right now. I'm taking pre-orders. So if people want the Stargate book, you can get it from my White Fox Nectars website. That's an e-commerce website. And if you join the Mystery School, you actually get a free book. So yeah, either way, people can get it. It's Naked Starseed on Patreon. That's the Mystery School. And you do have to be over 18 to join.
Thank you once again for delivering amazing conversation, really thought, and for helping usher us into this new space and age.
Yeah. And thank you for doing the same thing, Debbie. Really appreciate you.
I'm going to end today's show with this quote. It's called "Awaken Star Seeds" by Darren J. Lamb. And it goes like this: "Beware the weirdos, for we are not blind. Freaks of nature here to help mankind. Truth seers and knowledge reminders, helping the sleepers take off their blinders. A rough journey most have had, bringing on the path that brings happiness out of the sad. Warmth of our skin and inner sparkle in our eyes, normally seen looking up at the day and night skies. Loners of the body, but their hearts reach out. Here for a reason, there is no doubt. Always standing in the front, on the edge and on the brink. The mind's full of ideas, yet two questions they tend to think. Where is my home? Why do I not belong? Everyone around me singing the wrong song. Spiritual contracts in the back of our mind have been agreed. Stand far forward, you beautiful star seed." Subscribe to the Dare to Dream podcast to hear this weekly number one transformation conversation. My guest next week is the funny Tandy Pryor. She's a straight talker, income booster, fear eliminator, obstacle mover, and entrepreneurial coach. Tandy is going to be talking about how to own your power is the key to more freedom, opportunity, and money. And she sort of intimated that she may want to take on one of my rooms and talk about literally how I can transmute all my energy based on some kind of money feng shui she does. So stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. And if you love the podcast and you'd like to see myself and my guest, and I highly recommend you do, it's a fun way to watch, listen to the show. Go to youtube.com/Debbie Dashinger. It's youtube.com/DEBBIDACHINGER. Let your friends and family know about this show. Subscribe and like. And thanks. Remember to create all your dreams into your reality.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DEBBIDACHINGER.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change.